In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and we left off at the 17th verse. And again, this 10th chapter is going to be, and Lord willing, tonight we'll go through the 25th verse. We'll stop there, I believe. But this will be the last time in the book of Hebrews that it's going to mention Jesus Christ as our high priest. And to just think that so many weeks ago now, we started this in that second chapter. And again, and really that the love of God just constrained me. But thinking the value and the blessing that we have in knowing who our great high priest is. The privilege of being born at this time, at this age. I mean, I glory in reading the stories about my brothers and sisters of old in the Old Testament. Just such wonderful examples, and just thrills you. But again, to know what we know, to be able to be visited, hallelujah, by the Comforter, that He has entered our lives by the grace of God, to take us into the great mystery, the fullness of God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. What a privilege. What an honor. But by His grace, tonight, we're going to visit this for the last time. So again, I pray it has moved you, and I believe it has. But we'll read the 17th through the 25th verse here, and then we'll go back and start from the 17th. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Know that's so true in your life. Again, we've talked about this so many times, about how religion, over and over, and even Christianity, I heard again today of a so-called grace church that publishes the sins of their people on a board. And they have to go in and see somebody to have atonement for that to God. Can you tell me where that is in this word? Could you tell me where that is? It's not in here. The atonement's been made. Now, we understand, and I think we've understood in studying the grace of God and in this meeting for years, as we've said under this ministry, that when we really fully live the grace of God, that's Christ in me. And He causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure, doesn't He? Hallelujah. When you really love someone, we've talked about it many times before, you want to please them. When Christ works in me and I see how He is how He loves me and what He's done for me in my life, when that really becomes reality, I want to please Him. The new creation that He has given me grows up. It becomes the controller of my life. It becomes my life because that is my life. Reckon that old thing dead. Like we've talked about, and I appreciate it, and I kind of smile as thinking of that picture many, many times. You know, would you handcuff that guy around and just drag him around and here's my dead man? No, he stinks. He's rotten. Please get rid of him. But that's really how it is. Live to what we are. Live to what we've been blessed to. Now are we the sons of God, and such a marvel. Again, Lord willing, we'll get through the 25th verse. Lord willing, we'll get in the 17th verse. Hallelujah. But their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing shy about this anymore, is there? As a son of God, it's just like we said many times. And yeah, I'll make it simple because I'm a pretty simple guy. I still walk into my mom's home. It's my home. I have a home, but that's still my home. I walk in there, I'll look in the fridge, I'll do the things. Now, you treat it with respect now. Amen. But that's my mom's home, and I know it's mine. I know she shares that with me because I'm her son. Now, how much more our Father? Can you imagine that? Again, I almost can't contain it. That's my Father. That's your Father? Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, even if you don't realize it, that's your Father. Hallelujah. So, praise God in that. But by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near. Let us draw near. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, for our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I have to tell you, I get excited to see Bible studies and see the attendance. It's wonderful. Now, if there were just two, wonderful. I hope we understand that. We're not in numbers. We're into God. We're into His way. The Spirit's going to move. But it's wonderful that the much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe that there's been an awakening in this meeting in a lot of ways. The rubber's met the road, hasn't it? Do you have your own faith? Well, praise God. I believe that there are many that have the faith by the grace of God that are keeping the faith, that we're keeping on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But getting back into the 17th verse, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So precious and wonderful. And again, if you turn back to chapter 8, verse 12, it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? He already knew that there would be unrighteousness, didn't he? Didn't Paul even say, come on now, let's not let sin reign in our lives, right? There'd be unrighteousness, sure. We're going to fail, we're going to come short of, but He abides faithful still. That's who you serve. By the grace of God, that's who you serve. And when you realize that He loves like that, when you realize that it's forever, again, that makes me love Him and want to please Him that much more. But it says there in that 12th verse, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now look at that. He said that two times. Didn't need to, did he? Just need to speak it. But He knows we're weak creatures, doesn't He? He knows we think. See, we get under condemnation with ourselves, don't we? Putting ourselves down. Saying, I'm no good. I'm unworthy. Well, that's right. You're unworthy. But He's made you worthy. It is finished. Look what we've read through here. Look what you are in Him. If you're a Christian here tonight, your citizenship is in heaven. You are a son of God. You have been seated together with Him in the heavens. I hope those aren't words. I hope that's something that you live to and say, that is mine. That is mine. It is mine, mine, mine. All is mine. Hallelujah. But this is the beauty of the Lord on our life. It's His righteousness. It's His blood that is all over us that has made us accepted in the Beloved. It has made us reconciled to God. It's complete atonement because He became sin for me. He became sin for me. And it's nothing of myself, is it? It's nothing of yourself. It's in Him. Verse 18. Now a remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It's done, isn't it? Hallelujah. I spoke to my sweet, sweet friend Art Schimmel again today. You've heard me mention him. I continue to ask prayer for him. A Jewish man that still is caught into those traditions. But it's not just the Jews. I hope you understand that. It's pretty much all religion today. And even as Christians going on in the grace of God, when we get out of the grace of God and start getting into ourselves, we're back into our own tradition. We're back into our own ceremony. I have to. Accountability. I've just heard so much this week and it's grieved me so. Well, we're going to put groups together in the meeting where we're going to be accountable for one another. We're going to watch each other. Where does that say that in the Word of God? It says, cover thy brother's sin. That's spiritual. Isn't that what we're after, is true spirituality? I mean it. There's one mediator. There's one mediator. Oh, hallelujah. And I hope that you have the boldness, as it says here, to go before Him. And if He's caused your heart to cry out to Him, to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And that's a wonderful thing to say. I'm sorry. It's a hard thing for people to say. I've failed. Oh, those are great words. I'm a wreck. I'm fearful. Those are wonderful words to say to Him. See, He can do something with a heart that's like that. A heart that says, well, I'm right. And a heart that says, well, I don't need that. And a heart that says, well, look at him or her. That's a heart He can't do something with. Do you understand that? That's a heart that's not tender to the things of God. And that's what He is looking for. But again, verse 18, there's no more need of it. There's the value or the worth in these shadows or types are gone. They must be discarded from our life. To acceptably honor and serve God, all of this which we have been reading about, which represents any of man's works, any of man's goodness, any of man's self-righteousness, must be gone. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. I love this verse, and I would encourage you to really mark this verse. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. See, the kingdom can't be moved. Now, all we need by the grace of God is grace to open our eyes to see it, because it's a free gift. Hallelujah. But we need grace whereby or so we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, you've heard me read that before, but it's grace, a pure, undeserved gift that even allows us to serve God. And notice it's not even serve God, it's to serve Him acceptably. And you know what? That's the only way you can serve God, is acceptably. And how does God have to be acceptably served? Through His Son. And how could we ever even imagine to serve the I Am? I'm so incapable, I don't even think I can serve breakfast or set a table correctly for my wife when I want to impress her. Well, the fork's wrong and the spoon's right. Not that she's riding me. I don't want you to go that way. She appreciates the effort. But she knows it's going to be a floundered mess. So see, I can't even serve that, can I? Now, how could I serve the great I Am? By grace. By grace. His blood's all over me. Hallelujah. The blood of His Son is all over me. And I can acceptably serve. Praise you, Jesus. This grace is Christ. Now, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And again, you think of the fear and the trembling that they had. And even Aaron, you know, after his sons were, they were gone. Crispy critters. And they were. I mean, let's call it what it is. You want some good reading, get in the Word of God. They were done. And Moses comes on over to him. Now, go on in there again. You can see, what? What are you talking about, man? Well, it was serving God acceptably. And isn't that a testimony in our lives? Because you could imagine the heartache in that. Sure, we can joke and kid and kind of laugh about something like that. But look at the testimony there. Did that defeat him? Those were his sons. No, it didn't, did he? Hallelujah. He went in and he served God acceptably. By the grace of God. Yeah. Let that speak to us. But it's by the blood in that 19th verse. By the blood. The Holy of Holies. Heaven itself has been opened to man. By the blood. By the blood. And you just think how people don't even want to talk about the blood anymore. I forget which religion it is. There's so many of them anymore. Has taken the blood out of all of the hymnals. We're not going to talk about that. It's the life. It's the life, and everything is the blood. It was set. It was perfect. There's an order for everything. Look at the types and signs and symbols that God even has in nature. Isn't it just awesome? He proves Himself even in nature. Thank you, Lord. Copley even noted, and I thought this was so sweet. There was Enoch. He was not, right, as it says, because he walked with God. He was just taken up. There was Elijah that was taken up in the chariot of fire. But he noted there that they never reached the throne room before Christ's death. Did you realize that? They never reached that throne room before His death, did they? Mm-mm. I think we call that the bosom of Abraham. But let's go ahead and read a couple things. Let's turn over to John chapter 3, verse 13. It's John 3, 13. It says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, no man, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." So I think there's somebody that got up there first, and it might have been that Son of Man. Hallelujah. Now let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." So sweet. Now, because of this offering, this invitation of truth and love, he ascended up on high, didn't he? Hallelujah. See, people don't realize this verse in a lot of ways, and I'm sure many of you already do. This captivity that he went down and seized was Upper Sheol, or Upper Hell as it's known. And that's where the bosom of Abraham, or is the bosom of Abraham. And Christ descended down, and he captivated it. I love it. He led captivity captive, but he captivated it. He captivated the hearts there. And he ascended up on high. He rose. He rose, and he took Moses, and he took Ruth, and he took Esther. He took David. He took Enoch, and he took Elijah. And he took them on in. And he said, "I'm your high priest." Hallelujah. That's your high priest. That is your high priest. Thank you, Lord. And I can't go on without saying, how could we not recall Hebrews 4:16? Let's go over there. We have boldness. Why? Because the Lord said, "Let us come boldly," didn't he? "To the throne of grace." And we know this. "And let this soul grip our hearts, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, the Lord wants you to be a needy person. I think even at times when things where people would say, or when I think, man, my life is so right, things are so good, I even need him more than I ever do. You know what I'm saying? Just need him to say thank you. Could you imagine that? Need him to say thank you, and how he's blessed you. How he gives you the desires of your heart. Now, I don't know if I can get through this one. Wow. But because of the ascension on high, we have unbounded liberty in God's presence. Because he sits on the throne of grace. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 1:3. This will be one you may not have thought of for a while. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." The God of all comfort. Not some, not a few things, but the God of all comfort. This is who you serve. Who accepts me fully, who loves me so, and showers his comfort, who showers his grace, who showers his mercy on me. And it's at all times. And I was thinking about just a little play on words as I was reading this. The Lord kind of gave it to me. The word no, N-O. If there's no Jesus, you have no comfort. You have no peace. But you can take that little no and put a K-N-O-W on it. And you know Jesus, and you know comfort, and you know peace. And when you know the ways of God, see, that's where it was going with me too. See, Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. Moses had a peace, didn't he? Moses had a peace that passed understanding. It was something that he knew that, as I appreciate my sweet brother over there, don't want to embarrass him. But it's not. It's such thrilling to me when he saw me walking up the steps that day. "Son, as far as I know, God's still on the throne." That'll always ring in my heart. Because I know those were the words anointed by the Holy Spirit to give me at that moment. And that rings through my life. And when I can get that in my life that says, you know what? As far as I know, you're still on the throne. And as far as you've told me, you're still on the throne. And you're for me. And who can be against me? My God does all things right. He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And He loves us, doesn't He? Hallelujah. By a new and living way. And it is new. And hallelujah, it's living, isn't it? Which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Through Christ it was newly made and living. In Him we have life. And as we yield to Him, it becomes abundant life. And as we dwell in that, we understand that He is alive in us. He is alive in us when we yield to Him. Do you know Christians that are spiritually dead? I do. Now, does that mean they're going to hell? No. Has anything separated from the love of God? No. But have they moved away from God? Yes, they have. God doesn't move. He sees the proud afar off. His prodigal son was afar off in a different land, wasn't he? But it just takes that moment of looking towards the kingdom, a step towards the kingdom, and there comes the Father running. Hallelujah. He's running at you. I hope you understand that He is running to you all the time as He comes in for us. And it's only because He loves us. But you understand here that we are alive in Him, but the ceremony is truly dead works. The ceremony is something that's dead. Religious ceremony is dead. I was having a conversation with another person, I think it was the day before yesterday. Where is that in the Word of God? It's not there. This is the Word of God. Is there another book that you know of that's the Word of God? I don't. I don't believe there is. Matter of fact, no, there's not. It says at the end of this one that anybody who added to it or took away from it was in big trouble. Know your Bible. I didn't need any addendums. Didn't need no more books. Well, it was finished, but it really wasn't finished. It was finished in this land, but it wasn't finished in that land. So we had to have another book for the Indians. Or you think you know where I'm going? Ceremony. Traditions of men. Those things are vile. They'll rob you. You depart from the truth. You depart from the truth. You'll end up at the end of the road believing a lie. You will. It's a fact because it's in the Word of God. What do we stand for? I hope it's in defense of the gospel. Praise Him. But that word consecrated, so wonderful. It means perfected. Hallelujah. And it also means dedicated. And hallelujah, He did perfect us, didn't He? And He is so dedicated to us, even in our failures. Even in our unfaithfulness, again, He is forever faithful. You may feel a little low. Sometimes you don't feel like you're on fire all the time. But He's on fire all the time. Yes, He is. And He's there to encourage you on. And just as David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. We don't go by feelings. There may be times we do feel a little bit dead. There may be times that, as even said, sometimes even the heavens sound like brass, don't they? Lord, I've been praying about this a long time. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's a commission. I think that's coming at you Sunday if Jesus tarry. Stand, therefore. Be still, right? And just gird up with the truth. Nothing else. Gird up with the truth. See, that's faith. That's becoming a faith warrior. That's being able to get there by the grace of God in believing the promises that He has for us. Thank you, Lord. And it is through Christ. But He is so dedicated to us. Did you know that we are everything to Jesus? His whole existence, everything that He does right now, is solely and wholly for intercession for you and me. Do you know that you're that important? Sometimes you don't feel important. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I was sitting up in this office yesterday even, and I was thinking, as I was sitting there, I could see out over the Denver skyline, and I saw all these pretty buildings, and I was thinking, there was one I saw, and I think it was Bill Daniels, I don't know if you remember him. He was a cable guy and had a lot of money and different things. And I saw his building out there, and it was beautiful. And then I thought, well, you know, I bet you there's some other people that own an assortment of buildings, maybe even 1,000 buildings, maybe even more than that. And then I got to thinking, well, that's just on this puny old earth. And then I got to thinking, as I was kind of staring up, and then my mind started exploding, I said, I think I heard that there was actually 50 billion times 50 billion times 50 billion galaxies out there. And then I got to thinking, but you know what? My eyes can see that. Can you imagine? The things my eyes see are temporal. That's what he tells me. That's what he tells me. And as infinite and as amazing as that is, do you really believe this? I believe you do. I don't think you'd be listening to me if you didn't believe it. Do you know, by the grace of God, what's coming? I mean, just a little bit. The unsearchable riches of His grace. Is it worth waiting for? Oh, I see it more and more every day. And I mean, I see it more and more every day. And I just sit in that office or I sit at home and I say, thank you, Lord, that you're allowing me to see more of this every single day. He's making me into something I never thought I'd be. He's making me into something, I'm going to tell you something, I never even knew I could be. Man. But He came, didn't He? And He submitted Himself, and He bled, and He died, and He arose. And is always there for our intercession. He's our advocate. He's always proclaiming His love for us. He's praying for us. At the same time, He's supplying all our need for us, isn't He? And He gave us that wonderful Comforter, that Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth. And by the grace of God, all we need to do is gird it about us. And we're there. Hallelujah. If we will only accept it, take it, and grow in it. And then again, that veil, as it says there, rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Again, He came down. He descended into the depths for you and for me, so that we might live. His body torn, it says, just like that veil, for you and for me. In all ways, He was tried. In all ways, He was tested. In all ways, He was tempted. Don't ever think that you as a Christian are going through anything that He doesn't know. Do you believe that? And I'm talking about the things that you got yourself into outside of the will of God. Do you think that He can still comfort you then? Oh, I pray you know He can. And He does a special job in that. Look what He did for David in his life. In all of those failures to come back to Him, He said, son, you're a man after my own heart. Man. Talk about love. I didn't know this Bible study would go this way, so I pray it's encouraging. I think it is. It's encouraging me. And in a moment, I could go. But He can comfort because He knows you. He can comfort because He knows you. And He knows everything about you. And He knows everything that's going to come into your life. He's all-knowing. You understand that. Now yield to it. Have confidence in that. That's when you have boldness in the Lord. That's when you can actually have boldness in life and not be wishy-washy in things. I used to tease my dad. He was Mr. Woulda, Shoulda, Coulda. I did. My mom knows it. It would just drive me nuts. Well, I would have done that. I should have done this. And we could have done that. Ay, ay, ay. Talk about something. But that was a witness to me. Love my daddy. But I could see at times there wasn't a peace. Mm-hmm. I could see it. So strong, so capable. Integrity. Oh, valor. What a man. And I mean it. I'm not just telling you facts. Facts are facts. But faith. But faith. He had some. But I want faith like my father's. I want faith of my spiritual heritage. I want the faith of a Brother Hill. Hope we saw that faith. Hope we saw that love. Hope we know that. Not magnifying a man. No. Just God working in him. He can use any vessel he wants. Use that wonderful, wonderful vessel. So precious. That might offend some people. Not here, I don't believe. But you know what? That's God's work. I rejoice in God's work. Okay? You rejoice in God's work? Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. And having an high priest over the house of God. We've been talking about this a little bit, even last Sunday. The high priest, and by the way, this is the last time you're going to hear it. This is it, as far as in this study in the Hebrews at this time. There is a mention of a high priest, but it's to the old high priest. But this is the last time to the high priest. And by his grace, may we never forget it, minimize its value. But whose house are we? We read this in Hebrews 3:6. Whose house are we? Well, you know what? We're His house if we abide by faith. Did you know that? We talked about that. I'm a house of God, but is God going to be a tenant or a renter in my life? See, I want Him to dwell in it. It's not that He leaves me. I hope you understand. I'm not saying anything about leaving for salvation's sake. I'm talking about a yielded life. I'm talking about spirituality in our lives. Something that grows and feeds and lives and thrives. And it's only going to thrive in the truth. It's only going to thrive in believing. It's only going to thrive encapsulating that in all of the love of God. And I appreciate how the Word of God says, in truth and love. But if you really go into the truth, this Word, isn't the Word of God all love? Isn't that what this is to you? If it isn't, I believe that you need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. This is a love book. It's all about love. And there's some great, great scriptures of love of what He's doing right now in a certain group of people. Hallelujah. That He wants to get them ready for His coming. But this is merely believing in Him. Hallelujah. That it causes Christ Himself not only to be present with us, but to be in us. And what a wonder. As the Word of God says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. And I hope you understand, again, that wasn't Paul talking about salvation. This is talking about the fullness of God in our lives. Growing up into Him in all things. To be that Shulamite that is fully grown. That is fully ready. She had a little sister. She wasn't ready. She's a cute little thing. Sure, she was really fun to be with. But she was no bridal material. She could go to the wedding. She could be part of that group that was out there watching. But not the party. Hallelujah. Not the party. And that's what we're after. That's a life that's fully mature. Again, ready for the wedding of the Lord. Okay, verses 22 through 24. This is wonderful. If you'll notice in each one of these verses, it begins with, or right there in the first few words, let us. These are three wonderful commissions. Let us. That word let, again, throughout the Word of God is to allow, to submit, to yield. And hallelujah, it's a choice. God created us, the wonderful creation that we are, because we have free will. We're not robots. I'm no robot. I have free will to worship. And that's what's so pleasing to Him, is we have free will to worship. So it says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Paul speaking to us and himself as it should be. James 4:8. Turn over to James chapter 4, verse 8. It says there, draw nigh to God, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. See, God's there, always there. Mentioned earlier, He never moves. You ever feel away from God, it's because you moved. He didn't forsake you. Okay? You feel away from Him. And remember, that's just really kind of feeling away, because He's never away. He's always there. He's always there. But it's because you have moved. draw nigh. But it doesn't end with that, does it? It says with a true heart. This again, as we've said many times before, it's not playing games with God. It's not holding back. He knows you. Don't be a hypocrite. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Hey, you know how you be honest with yourself and with Him? Go boldly before the throne of grace. Just go boldly. Say, Lord, You know me. You know my downsetting, my uprising, my thought afar off. You know the hair on my head. You know everything about me. You created me. I am Your creation. Now, more than Your creation, what You want me to be is Your workmanship. Do you understand there's a difference there? Now, He created me. Now I want to step into workmanship. And that's a life that's yielded. It's a life that become pleasing to Him. You want to be a testimony to your children? Yield your life to God. You want your children to go up to have thought of God? Get them to church. Be a testimony for the things of God. I know I'm speaking to people that come to church on a Wednesday night. If you're here, you usually come to church. But don't get complacent in it. Don't get cocky about it. Forgetting those things which are behind, today is the day. What are you going to do with today? What are you going to do with right now? I don't want to continue on building wood, hay, and stubble. I want to continue precious stone in my life. Now, He's going to give me, hallelujah, even a cold cup of water given in the name of a prophet has its reward, doesn't it? But there is a group, there is a yearning for a certain group to be ready for His coming. Don't miss it. I don't believe we are. I think the Lord's working in here in such a mighty way, and it's thrilling to me. It's thrilling to me. We're running together. Run, brother, run. Yep. And He's got us running. Praise God. To go boldly before the throne. See, we withhold from Him, and it really nothing will ever change. We need to let go. And notice here, it's not just assurance. No, there's no doubt in this, because it is full assurance. Remember, as we said about Hebrews, it's better. It's not that He just gives us assurance. It's full assurance. And full assurance is knowing. You know and believe that this Word is. And it's right, and it's alive, and it's true. And you'll live the full assurance. Knowing Him gives full assurance in our life. It's faith. The Word feeding deep into our lives. That's faith. As it says in the Word of God, break up the fallow ground. If we're going to be hardened, the Word's not going to work down into our lives. That's why a wreck like David was a man after God's own heart. He was tender towards those things. He would make a mistake and he'd say, I'm sorry, I've failed. I go before You, Lord. It wasn't that he used it for an excuse. I hope you understand that. There's a difference there. But he knew his sufficiency was of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. That's knowing the Lord. Letting the water work down in our lives and working deep. That produces faith. And faith, how it pleases Him. I have to tell you, I was thinking of King Hezekiah there. 2 Kings 18, just for a reference. And it says there that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. As his father David. There's no other king that it says of that. Did you know that? And it says that the Lord prospered him in all his ways. So wonderful. Then it didn't stop there. Talked about the water. I don't know if you remember this, but I'm sure some of you do. The great thing that King Hezekiah did is he brought the water to the people. He built a conduit. Pretty amazing what the Lord can do in your mind. You think that you're incapable of doing things. He'll enlighten you to things. He'll give you spiritual understanding. But you know what? He'll even give you natural understanding. Believe it or not, He'll be all wisdom to you. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. He'll give you. He is your answer. But He'll give you answers. And there he was. He was able to bring the water to the people. And I thought, how wonderful. How precious. That was the sign and the type of his life. The water, the Word of God. He was able to give that and bring that to the people. And that is why God prospered him everywhere that he went, was in the Word of God. But this is knowing again that he does all things right. There's for my good. He perfects everything, guiding me. Hallelujah. My advocate, my mediator, my intercessor. Always professing His love again for me. And notice in this verse, it's the blood that's sprinkled. Oh, praise God. It's sprinkled on the heart and the mind. And only by the blood can we come in boldness, knowing that we are accepted. Only by the blood. Nothing of ourselves again. The water speaks of the new birth. Salvation in Him makes us immediately acceptable righteousness. His righteousness. And just think, and we've said this again, I could never be any more righteous than when He saved me. I'm accepted at that moment that I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I am righteous. I am righteous. Praise God. And I can now only grow in it, in His grace, to the maturity of a bride. And again, this verse is such comfort to me, knowing that it wasn't, knowing that it isn't, and knowing that it never will be anything of my effort. What did it say? We have entered into rest when we have ceased from our own work. That's the rest of God. Isn't it wonderful? And we know this. And again, let the Scriptures, again, Paul said, 3 years, night and day. Can you handle me on Wednesdays? I'm just teasing you. I know it. I know we're a little weary this evening, but I believe we're being encouraged. We're being encouraged in the grace of God. That's edifying to us. Hallelujah. Knowing that it is in Him. Now, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And you think about those that don't hold fast the faith. What happens to them? They waver. They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Do you know Christians like that? Church hoppers, whatever they are, going from here to there, running after anything new. Poor people. Poor people. I finally had to just chastise one of my somewhat, I have to say he's a friend, sweet man, but just so mixed up. Last time I heard about him, they were going through, like I think I told you, the IRS declarations of why you shouldn't file as a tax-exempt organization as a church because you're agreeing that you believe in the Eucharist. And that's what they were studying in their assembly for weeks. Do you see where you can go? The enemy will get you going on a lot of different things. He can convince you that it's good. Well, we're going to prove that we shouldn't be doing this. Who cares? Timothy preached the word. I mean, isn't it mind-boggling? I have to tell you. And really, you sit there laughing, but you know that the Lord is just grieving. Come on, get out of that stuff. Get out of that stuff. Preach the word. But verse 23, there's another hold fast, and I want us to read the Revelation chapter 3:11. We'll go just a little bit over this evening because I do want to get through the 25th verse. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. See, this isn't salvation. That's already finished. This is crown talk. This is the crown talk. Hallelujah. This is high calling words. Verse 22 professed that faith, profess the faith, and this is the continuation of our hope. Brother Copley even said, hope crowns faith with triumph. Think about that. Hope crowns faith with triumph. Hallelujah. And this is holding fast, or holding dear the crown. And by the grace of God, when we hold fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown, that is singleness of mind, body, and soul. There's nothing wavered. You're not tossed to and fro anymore with every wind of doctrine. You have eagle vision. You have eagle vision. You're on it. You have dove's eyes that look in with the eagles that see the love of God, and you're on it. Hallelujah. Without a vision, people perish. This is your vision, folks. This is it. Don't get caught up into pretty words, into fables, as the Word of God says that people will be led away to. This is it. Know your heritage. This is our birthright that we've been born into. Hallelujah. If we'll believe it. But settled in the truth, hallelujah, that it's everything. We confess Him because He is faithful, not us. He is forever faithful, continual. And that is what causes us to have even a little faith, as the Word of God says. Thou hast a little faith. Thou hast a little strength. Those are the wonderful words of the great overcomer believer. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So now that we have faith and we have hope, let them have the profit. You know where I'm going with this. You got faith, you got hope, but you need love. Truth in love. Yeah, the truth is love. But I appreciate the Word of God telling me that and the Lord encouraging me on. You can get so puffed up in knowledge, but if I have love with it, oh man, do I got power. That's the power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts as He gives you the truth. And when you have those two things together, you have power. Praise God that we could see something like that. Without the love, all else is profitless. We've talked about the Sea of Galilee as opposed to the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee, what a wonderful picture. The water runs into it. The Word of God runs into a life. And that Sea of Galilee is teeming with life, with fishes. It's abundant. It has testimony. Huh? Because why? Because the water runs out of it. The Word of God runs out of the life. And that's so important. I hope you understand. That's why I believe the Lord had that on my heart this last week about witness and testimony. What are we doing with this? What are we doing with our light? By the grace of God, I want to shine it everywhere. I was in a doctor's office yesterday. First time I ever went to a skin doctor. Say, oh, you went to a doctor, you don't have any faith. Oh, no. Lord's really building a lot of faith in me. But I believe the Lord told me just go. And by the way, He said that I have good skin. But I said the Lord told me I was wonderfully made anyways. Huh? You believe that? Amen. I'm wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Fearfully. Praise God. That's an awesome thing to even think about there. But I was able to talk to that man a little bit about the Lord. Oh, there's witness everywhere. There really is. Now, there'll be times, believe it or not, Lord might even have you walk by. Can you imagine that? You said you didn't say anything to them? What about Apostle Paul? See, we're not to cast our pearl among swine, are we? This is precious stone, guys, too. Don't get me wrong. This is the Word. I'm not going to give my wonderful pearl among swine. And it's not my decision. It's the Lord. But be ready. Have that light shining by the grace of God. Wonderful, wonderful. But that Dead Sea, again, doesn't give out the water, and there's no life in it. There's no love in that. And you'll see lives like that. You'll see lives that know a lot of truth. Lives that know a lot of this Bible, but they don't live the love of God. And you know what? It's profitless at that time. It does. It doesn't do any profit. You need the love of God. Humans always are provoked to something. And mainly it's wrath. Think about that. I was good at provoking to wrath for a lot of my life. But the Lord's changed me. If you know me, I think you know the Lord's changed me in a lot of ways. But how edifying when we provoke to love and good works. See, love is the fulfillment of the law, it says. And this is Christ's love. The only love. The love, again, that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is the new covenant. And you know that there is no law against it? And do you know that faith even works by love? I know many of you know this, but think of these things, what love does. Praise God. It's the key to everything. It's knowing the length, the breadth, and the height, and the depths of the love of God. That's Ephesians 3. What a wonderful promise. And again, love produces good works. You don't produce good works. It's the love of God that produces good works in your life. Again, as you fall in love with someone, even in the natural, I think about how the Lord has caused me to love my wife. Can you imagine I even do dishes? Don't got dishpan hands, so don't. I've got a thumbs up over here. That's pretty neat. No, I'm just teasing. Sorry, brothers, if you're not loving your wives like that. Okay. But it causes you to do things you wouldn't do. Huh? That's what love does. Love loves through things, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the enemy tries to guess, well, she didn't cook my dinner. Well, maybe you need to cook the dinner, huh? Yeah. Uh-oh, I think I'm going somewhere I may not go. Brothers aren't going to play golf with me no more. I'll tell you. But love, it changes you. It causes you to do things you couldn't. I was even thinking it makes you into someone you're really even not. Naturally. What it does, though, is it's releasing that new creation in you. It's actually letting you live who you really are. Believe it or not, that's who you really are. I'm getting too off on that, maybe. Verse 25, and we'll close with this. I appreciate your patience here, but I do believe the Lord wants us to get through this tonight. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. I'll tell you, I had a time in my life that I didn't feel the need to come to church as much as I did probably the last 5 years. I thought, well, people are weak that come to church a lot. Well, that's probably right. And that's weak in a good way. It's a wonderful way. Don't let the devil deceive you that way. It's just on the horizon, guys. Young people, you're not missing anything. You miss meetings. You miss something. One thing forever. And I know you believe it. I know there's all of us here, but the young people especially. I know you believe it. Don't miss the things of God. Don't get caught up into things that are going to take you away from the things of God. Appreciate my brother-in-law telling me, you know, Jess, it's almost like sometimes you have to uncomplicate your life consciously, because life, the enemy, continues to complicate it more and more and more as we take on. And it can be a good thing. Well, I'm going to take that on, and I'm going to make more money for this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give time to this. Lord wants you. The Lord wants you, and He wants you with Him. And you read the Word of God, and it says, the much the more as you see that day approaching. It's the fellowship. Again, it's those coals we were talking about. Coals burn bright. The brisket, you know, you get them on there, and you got them, and they're all red and glowing and all that. But you take one, and you go set it by itself. It burns bright for a while, and then it goes away. We need one another. You need one another. My heart goes out to some that get away from the meeting, you know, whether their job or the things of that nature. And it's wonderful. But you see how they come back and there's so much contact. And the ones that continue to glow bright, there is still the fellowship that they have with the saints. There's a need for this. There is a wonderful need for this. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there also am I in the presence. Hallelujah. And He's here tonight. And it's not just to gather. That word says gather to exhort. Hallelujah. To encourage. To encourage to what? To encourage to run. To encourage each other to run. To run. To run. To run. To be looking for His appearing. You see your brother a little bit down. You see him going a little bit way. Don't whack him. Go to him and say, hey, man, I love you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't get involved, really, with others that are going to pull you down. You know, don't make excuses with God if you have friends, associates, workers, whatever it is, that want to get into things. I'm not being legal here. Things that are lovely, pure, good report, all of those things. Think on these things. The Lord wants you. You're His. Now let Him stake His claim. Let Him stake His claim in you. It's worth it. Do you believe the Word of God? I mean, is it really real to your life? Don't waste it. Really, there'll be ones, they'll say, oh, well, let's go do this. And think of the time you spend wasting with people that don't want to go on with the things of God. They will pull you down eventually. I promise you, you will. You'll sink to the lowest level. Human beings do it. They do. You get among those of like faith and you fellowship. I'm talking fellowship now. I'm not talking about getting around to gossip. Fellowship, exhorting, not getting together to discord. God hates that. Okay? It's going to stop there. Fellowship. Fellowship. The much the more as you see that day approaching. We're privileged. We're so privileged that we see this. This is the Word of God. This is His truth. This is the I Am calling to you personally. And you have heeded the call. Don't get a big head. Thank Jesus that He's called you to this. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord, for just your wonderful word. How sweet it is. Lord, just again, encourage us with it. Just encourage us with it to believe your wonderful promises for us. We thank you again for this time. How magnificent you are. In Jesus' name, amen.